know, every time I speak, I want the truth to come out. You know what I'm saying? Every time I speak, I want to shiver. You know, I don't want them to be like, they know what I'm going to say because it's polite. They know what I'm going to say. And even if I get in trouble, you know what I'm saying? That ain't that what we're supposed to do? I'm not saying I'm going to rule the world or I'm going to change the world, but I guarantee that I will spark the brain that will change the world.
We got to have personal responsibility, political accountability, and corporate culpability.
Get up, 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 get up.
We must eliminate poverty. I don't care what color the person, a child.
Get up, get up, get up, get up, get up, get up.
Why does a pessimist see a glass half empty, but an optimist see a glass half full? Are we locked into regressive mentality by change unseen? If you try to fail and then succeed, which have you done? Do you ask enough questions or do you settle for what you know? The only questions that really matter are the ones you ask yourself. Welcome to Mental Dialogue. All I ask is that you think. Think, think, think.
Get up, get up, get up.
I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates, and welcome to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. We are the return of intelligent radio as we ensure the free flow of opinions and push the envelope on the questions America's afraid to ask it, the mainstream media. Good morning to all the truth seekers out there. I got a couple of special guests on with me this morning, Kay Wolf, as well as Ms. Ida Bird here. Ms. Ida, how you doing, Queen?
I am fabulous, and you?
Doing well, doing well. Kay, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing super great and fantastic. Glad to hear you're doing well.
That sounds good. Sounds good. Mr. Wilmers, Ida, do you have the show in the background? Because I think I'm hearing something, a little feedback on your line.
Oh, yeah, that probably
just check it
could
real
be.
Quick.
Let me just turn it off.
Yeah, yeah, that'll help. That definitely will help. Just want to get that clarified. All right, for everybody out there listening, go ahead and get this thing started. Again, I got a couple of special guests. I'll start with you, Ms. Ida, if you will, Ms. Ida Bird-Hill. She is the CEO of Automation Works. But if you will, Queen, I'll let you go a little more into your background as it relates to this morning's discussion question, which I'll go ahead and let the cat out the bag. Is should information technology and cybersecurity become black folks' new NBA and NFL? So look forward to this discussion with you this morning. But thank you for being our special guest this morning. How are you doing?
I'm just fabulous. Thank you for having me on. And I'm going to just jump right into the discussion. Because I do believe that cybersecurity should be one of the main fields that African Americans should go into right now. I know a lot of them are not thinking about it, but with all of the discussion that we've had the last couple of weeks from the federal government as it relates to the Colonial Pipeline attack, and particularly for those in the Southeast who had to go without gas for a few days, we need to really have a real conversation about that.
Now, we absolutely want to jump into that. I just wanted to give let the audience hear a little bit more about your background as well, Queen. Obviously, I said you're the CEO of Automation Works, but, you know, that title alone, you know, just let them know exactly what you're doing out here, because I always tell people I like to bring on people who are a little smarter than myself about the subject matter that we're discussing. So I want them to understand that you are absolutely qualified to have this discussion, if you will, this morning. So if you will, Queen, let them know who you are.
Well, first of all, I have a bachelor's in economics from the University of Michigan. So I'm not your traditional checking. I'm a financial woman. I look at the numbers. I look at the data. I have an MBA from Jack Welch Management Institute at Strayer University, specializing in strategy and people management. So I understand how people think as well as their data. Now, I came to the tech world really from a human resources perspective because I started my career in HR and sales, was a headhunter for a few years, about 3 years, for Fortune Personnel Consultants and placed technical attorneys all over the world. And I got to see the world a little differently from most, because although a lot of us talk about money rules the world, money does not rule the world. Intellectual property rules the world, because he or she who has all the intellectual property holds all the money. And so having placed those intellectual property attorneys all over the place, you got to see that how technology is what drives money. And it's going to keep driving money forever. And so I spent a lot of my career automating places. I have a background in COBOL, Fortran, and BASIC. And what most people don't know is the financial institutions were very dependent upon COBOL. So we were able to use that to automate a lot of the functions of the bank. And so we're just in that mode in America where everything is going to be automated. And we've been right smack in the middle of it. But then I took a couple years off. I would say it's more than a couple, more like 15, to decide that I was going to deal with the educational scenario here in Detroit. We had a scenario where the schools were taken over by the state of Michigan because they were defined as the worst schools in America. And I have to tell people that was not true. It depends on who you talk to. The year that they took over those schools, which was 1999, they had the most African-Americans ever in the history of that school district to get scholarships to college. So if you were a white person and you didn't want any threats from black people, that was a horrible year for you. But for black people who were in that system, that was a grand year, because millions of dollars of scholarships flowed to young people, and they went to college for free. So they took over the school district under the guise that it was failing, but it really wasn't failing. It was only failing for those who did not want an educated black person to step into the arena of America. And so I decided to get into that battle because I was there. I saw that the students were doing quite well, but then when they got into the whole takeover, the students were starting to get gypped. They weren't getting the curriculum they needed. They weren't getting the money to the classrooms they needed. And I decided to put my children in the mix of that and decided that that was not going to happen. So I bring a different perspective to the table that's not only just purely technical. It's both economic, data-driven, and in the community-driven.
Now, I love all that background, absolutely, Ms. Ida. And if you will, just if in automation work specifically, if you will, share that information. And I want to introduce them to Kay as well because we have a break to go to. So automation work specifically, what are you teaching people with that from what I from what I saw?
We are a cybersecurity reskilling firm, and we are teaching cybersecurity, Internet of Things, and network engineering. Eventually, we will get into digital marketing because it relates to all of those areas. But that's kind of where we're focused. And that's kind of my baby. I'll probably be spending the next 10 years grooming that baby because I'm trying to get it to 50,000 students, mainly African-American people of color students. So we're in that space now. We have students all over the country that are learning the technical side of cybersecurity, network engineering, and Internet of Things, which is where this economy is sitting right now.
Yeah, that's perfect because that gets us right into this morning's topic. But before I get hot and heavy into it, let's introduce everyone to Kay Wolf. Thank you, Queen, for being on with us this morning. You're no slouch yourself when it comes to this information technology and cybersecurity. So if you will, Queen, just give a little bit of your background. We're going to go to our first break and get hot and heavy in this morning's discussion. Should information technology and cybersecurity become black folks' new NBA and NFL? Again, introduce yourself, Queen. Thank you for being with us.
Hey, thanks for having me here, Montoya. I always enjoy mental dialogue discourse, and it's an honor to be here. Thank you for inviting me on today. My name is Kay Wolf, and I am a network services professional. I've got over 15 years of technology solutions experience, and I'm actually a student at Automation Works Institute, cybersecurity student. I have a master's in business and MBA from Full Sail University, and I transitioned last year into working in cybersecurity because I've been in network services for going on 3 years now, and it's fun. It's really fun. I'm insatiably curious, lifelong learner, and I think big. I like to inspire others and deliver results and have fun. The Automation Works Institute curriculum is engaging. It's dynamic. It's up to date. It's super current, extremely informative program, and I highly recommend it. I also love to teach and share knowledge. So a program that I'm starting is Cybersecurity Solutions for Everyone Online, and it's just a beginner-level introduction to cybersecurity basics one-on-one to secure your identity, your digital identity, and to secure your home network and your mobile devices.
I love it. That's perfect. Great backgrounds. I think it's actually a perfect mix. We got Ms. Ida, who in a sense teaches and gets people into cybersecurity. You having an intensive background in tech, as well as being in a sense new to cybersecurity. So I think it's to a degree a perfect mix for this morning's discussion question as we go to our first break. Should information technology and cybersecurity become Black folks' new NBA and NFL? We'll be right back. You're listening to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask is that you think.
My name is Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates. I am the owner and facilitator of the Mental Dialogue Community Support Group, focused on practical solutions and the collective thinking of the black community. We do that one of two ways, every third Friday, 7 p.m. at Urban Grind, or Saturday mornings, the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Contact us at mentaldialogue.com or on Facebook at Mental Dialogue. All I ask is that you think.
Hackers breached the company's computer system, so Colonial was forced to shut down the pipeline, cutting off a major source of gasoline, jet fuel, and diesel to several states. Here's what panic buying could do. Hurt consumers long term, warns Gas Buddy petroleum analyst Patrick DeHaan.
The first thinking is, oh boy, prices are going to skyrocket, and I need to fill everything I can with gas. And so that's a self-fulfilling prophecy that actually makes the problem much more acute.
This chaos left in the wake of Colonial Pipeline's ransomware attack has heightened concerns about America's cybersecurity. The energy grid and water supply have almost no federally mandated cybersecurity protections. And that vulnerability is costing millions of dollars. Listen to what Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas said on Tuesday.
More than $350 million in losses are attributable to ransomware attacks this year. That's a more than 300% increase over last year's victimization of companies.
You know, Colonial Pipeline isn't the only ransomware attack happening right now. Did you know it's also happening at the Washington, D.C. Police Department? Hackers have reportedly stolen all kinds of information, including personnel files of police officers, and they're constantly releasing them until their demands are met.
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates. This morning's discussion question, should information technology and cybersecurity become black folks' new NBA and NFL? My special guest, Kay Wolf, as well as Ida Bird Hill, both experts in this area, as you've heard prior to the break. Long, go ahead and get this thing started. Ms. Ida, I'm going to start with you because you mentioned this prior to the break. Here in the Georgia, specifically where I'm at in the southeast and maybe in the northeast, had some issues with gas due to a cybersecurity attack that affected, again, a gas shortage throughout the southeast, and I experienced it to a degree, not too bad, so that we, again, have to mention before we get hot and heavy into this concept of what our African-American children, in a sense, should be doing and entering into this field. Let's talk about what happened with that, because that situation, in my opinion, ups the demand, which eventually can trickle down and we can take advantage of in our community. But if you will, Queen, just break down what you understand about that ransomware attack, which is a term I just learned because of this. So get us up to date with that, if you don't mind, Queen.
What ransomware basically says is that I'm going to hold your computer system hostage in exchange for some money. So you won't be able to use your system until you give me the money, And then when you give me the money, I'll give you back your system. Now, that to me is sweet, because it used to be if I did ransom, it related to kidnapping a physical person. So I'm no longer kidnapping people. I'm kidnapping your technical system. And while Colonial Pipeline got a lot of press, ransomware has grown by 600% already this year. They're not the only company. There are scions of companies. You've had plane companies. You had even Apple, one of its suppliers got hit with ransomware, and they asked them for $50 million. Because right now, everything is based and grounded in technology. Everything you do from your phone down to social services have computer systems. So if I want to make a money as a criminal gang, I could go and take over your system and say, if you want to get back into your data, then this is what you're going to pay me. I think it's the slickest criminal activity ever. And it's actually working for those gangs. Now, it's not working for the rest of the world, because they're losing all type of things in doing that. Not only are they losing money, they're losing data of people's personal credit cards and social security numbers. They're losing industrial trade seekers, because we do have corporate espionage. And even the federal government has been hacked, because technology is where everybody's living, and that's where all the activity is happening.
Nah, absolutely. I mean, at the end of the day, when you obviously experienced this unexpectedly, again, being in a state that was actually declared to be a state of emergency due to this gas shortage, you know, you don't even realize it until you hits you, if you will. But as I'm thinking about it, I'm going, wow, if it can happen on this level, how easy are we targets individually, because all of us are so dependent on technology, if you will. So, Kay, if you will, just kind of give me your thoughts in reference to, you know, this actual oil shortage. For what I understand was, you know, for I guess what we've been able to surmise from the media was by a group called DarkSide, some Eastern Europe criminal group, and they basically did exactly what Ms. Ida said, to the extent, I think I've heard from one of my friends, they got away with $4 million because they end up having the money sent via blockchain, which is another, you know, obviously we're talking about cryptocurrency and that form of technology, so it can't be traced. So right now, from what I understand, they pulled us off, and right now they got away scot-free with it due to, as Ms. Ida said, the slickest crime there is. But your thoughts on this situation as well. Go ahead, Kay.
Yes, I second everything Ms. Ida said, and she's right on point. And to touch on what you said about how it affects us individually, it's absolutely an issue that you're using, you know, today. If you're using email or installing or updating software on your devices, surfing the web, you're at risk for identity theft and viruses. If you use a service, a banking service or government service that has your information in an online server, you are at risk for identity theft. And even if it's no fault of your own. So there are actions that you can take to secure your personal data, and small businesses can take actions to secure their business data. Something that is similar to ransomware is getting a pop-up virus that will lock up your personal computer. And this is something that in my 3 years as a network services technician, I've experienced, you know, people in baby boomer age, even people millennial age, falling victim to these crimes. They'll get a pop-up on their computer telling them to call a number because there's a virus that's been identified on the machine, and if they want access to their machine again, they have to call the number. They call the number, and they get some bogus story. It's a virus, and they're just trying to steal money. There are ways that you can avoid falling victim to that situation, and then there are recovery solutions for you. First of all, if you get a pop-up like that, don't call the number. Don't call the number.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. And the thing is, Kay, what we'll do, if you don't mind, Quinn, what we'll do, is because obviously you know that information, and for everybody out there listening, Kay she's going to be breaking down how to protect yourself. I just want to move into that a little later as we transition, if you don't mind, Queen, at this moment, just to the concept of this morning's discussion question, because, again, how could we start that after what happened to us on a nationwide basis? And like I said, it opened my eyes to, you know, again, what personally could happen. And again, for all of our small business owners out there, which you mentioned, believe it or not, they're after you too. And so we definitely want to show and tell people how to get protected, you know, if you will. But Ms. Ida, you mentioned there's been a 600% increase when it comes to, if you will, these cyber crimes. And so when we ask the question, should information technology and cybersecurity become black folks' new NFL and NBA, there's an amazing opportunity, unfortunately, due to these crimes increasing, right? 600% people are needed. And this has been some years ago, and I'm pretty sure it hasn't changed, and I've seen various numbers throughout. But, for example, even graduating enough people from our colleges that can, in a sense, fit into these jobs or according to Automation Works, like you said, you want to get to 50,000 students because, you know, and looking at the numbers, we are underfilling those jobs in the country. So when you see something like this, I would assume the demand, which has already been very high, absolutely increases. And a lot of the companies are quite, from what I understand, and tell me if this is a factor in this, but from what I understand, a lot of companies, or because we have shortages throughout the country, are having to resort to, I shouldn't say resort, but they are relying on a lot of immigrant knowledge in reference to this field, and they're bringing them to the country and things of that nature. I wonder, and you can definitely, this is kind of the direct, I know I said a lot, but here's the question. I wonder when it comes to cybersecurity, and for example, this was a foreign attack, right? I wonder, is there a bigger push to have, in a sense, more Americans, in a sense, protecting our cybersecurity, if you will, from foreign entities due to something like this? What are your thoughts on that, Queen?
Well, first of all, America always wants more Americans employed in every career. The problem is that where do they find them? Right now, Cybersecurity Ventures has said that cybercrime will eclipse $6 trillion this year. $6 trillion, generating potential openings of 3.5 million people for cybersecurity jobs. So right now, where do you find them? They're coming from overseas because they're not here in the U.S. Secondly, all of them don't have a bachelor's degree. What most people do not realize is that you don't need a bachelor's degree to go into technology. You need some training and preferably a certification that will replace a four-year bachelor's degree. So if you spent 9 to 12 months or 9 to 18 months getting training and a certification, they will gladly welcome you to the field, which to me gives grand opportunity to African Americans because you don't have to go spend 4 years and get nothing from it, and you can be working for those years with training and certification. So yes, America always wants Americans. But the truth of the matter is African Americans are not going into science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. Right now, only 3.5% of those who are getting any education in America have gone into science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. So if we're not supplying them, they have to go to the next best place. And let's talk real turkey. Asians are and Africans are supplying technologically trained individuals. And so, yes, they're going to import them and immigrate them to the U.S. because they need the skill set. Now, what that says to me, that's a grand opportunity for black folks. The problem is getting black folks to take the time to say, guess what? Life has changed. If nothing else we learned during the pandemic, life is different. The whole world went virtual in a blink of an eye. Which says to me, if the whole world went virtual in a blink of an eye, that's where you need to be, where the world went. And it went all the way to technology. But even still, we have people who are so resistant to automation and resistant to training and resistant to the change. And my belief is that if you don't make the change is going to happen to you. And I'll give you an example of that. In 2017, McKinsey & Company basically said, that 60% of African-American jobs are going to disappear by 2030. However, with the pandemic, that timetable accelerated to 2025.
Mm-hmm.
That's only four mm-hmm. years from now, right around the corner. But I'm also going to say that while that's a prediction by 2025, it actually happened in 2021. Because we have a lot of people who are sitting on unemployment who are never going to be called back to their jobs. Because frankly, no offense to you, the folks out there, I don't need you when I got a computer. So unless you are tied
That's
to
real.
A computer, I don't mm-hmm. need you. So your job is never going to call you back. Period.
And that's scary to, you know, just even when you put it in that perspective, but it doesn't have to be scary if we look at this as an opportunity. I remember going to school with some friends from India, if you will, and just, you know, kind of learning about their culture. And there was a lot of pressure on one of my good friends from that I'm referring to. Just a lot of pressure on, you know, doing extremely well in school, and come to find out there was a lot riding on it because to a degree in his family, he was in a sense expected to make it, because if he does well and gets one of these, in a sense, high income positions in the tech field, then it would be an opportunity to help lift the rest of his family out of poverty, if you will. And so I came to understand that was happening on a common basis. But, you know, whether it be, like you said, Asian and Africans dominate, as well as Indians dominate those H-1B visas, which, you know, is basically America saying, we're looking for your knowledge. We don't have enough here. Please come to this country and fill these jobs. So, as you said, instead of being afraid of it, we could take advantage of it, and similar to what, in a sense, those cultures do, get those high income and lift their family up. There's no reason we couldn't do that too. Any thoughts on that, Kay? Again, somebody that's gotten into this field and trying to take advantage of, again, that high income, whether it's doing it yourself or working for someone, either way, you know, just your thoughts on that concept.
I think it's
Kay, did I lose you? Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead, please.
It's an absolutely fantastic idea to go into cybersecurity, especially along the lines of what Ms. Ida was saying. Many people who are on unemployment right now will not have a job to go back to. And it's a great opportunity to take advantage of the world being online right now. There are academies online. For instance, Automation Works is all online. And really, there's very little excuse to break into a new career in cyber right now. And especially since there is traction right now in this country for funding for infrastructure, and cybersecurity falls into infrastructure. And it really is a great idea to future-proof your career, and cybersecurity in this country is going to, those jobs are going to be around for generations to come. So I would say break into it now, and may the force be with you.
Yeah, I love that term, future-proof your position. And let's keep this in mind, too, the specifically cybersecurity, because we've done shows where I've brought on other, you know, African-American-owned businesses that are trying to, in a sense, get people into this field. And you don't necessarily always have to be as technical as people think to a degree. And I'm going to go to a break, and we're going to get into this. But, again, we definitely want to break out just even the cultural perspective, kind of some of the stuff that Ms. Ida alluded to from the standpoint of, in a sense, fears of breaking in or not taking advantage, like you said, people sitting at home and basically not reskilling and retooling, and we can't, in a sense, sit idly. The bigger thing, in my opinion, is getting the next generation on board, because that 3.5% is not okay. It's not okay from the standpoint of, you know, where we were at just 5 years ago, but again, for what's coming and the timeline being sped up in reference to these jobs not returning, like she said, and I agree. With people sitting, you know, sitting at home right now, and 40% of African American businesses closed. What are you gonna do? What are you gonna do? And here's an opportunity to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask is that you think.
Why have you said your "I'm not a role model" commercial is the greatest thing you've
because
ever done in your life?
Because it started the debate. Because if you go back and look when it happened, it comes up all the time, too, when the term role model comes up. It started a national debate.
Just because I dunk a basketball doesn't mean I should raise your kids.
Let me tell you something. When I went to Nike with this commercial, they was like, this is going to be huge. I said, that's why I want to do the commercial. 95% of the letters Nike got, the 76ers got, loved the commercial.
Yeah. How did the reaction and response you got compared to what you were expecting?
I actually thought it would be like 80-20, to be honest with you.
80 positive? Okay.
Yes. Because, listen, I knew the parents. The parents, because first of all, I it became a joke. I said, I'm the only guy in the world who ever got bad hate mail for telling kids to listen to their parents. In the beginning, I said, just because I could dunk a basketball and dribble a basketball, I shouldn't raise your kids. But at the end, I said, parents are role models. Because, you know, I do this little science experiment, Graham, when I speak at schools. Like, let's say I'm at a white school. I said, how many of your kids want to play pro sports? Less than 10% raised their hand. I said, what do you want to do? I want to be a doctor. I want to be a lawyer. I want to be an engineer. But when I go speak at predominantly black schools, 90% of the kids want to play sports. 90%. There's a couple like, I want to be a doctor, which makes me really proud. But 90% of kids, when I speak at black schools, our kids are brainwashed to think they can only play sports and be entertainers. You got a better chance of being a doctor and a lawyer than playing in the NBA. I tell you, there's 400 players in the NBA. What are the chances you're going to be one of the 400 best players in the world? That's, like I say, and I'm not trying to bash their dreams. I wish everybody could do it. But you have to also be realistic. You're not going to play in the NBA. Who are we kidding?
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates. This morning's discussion question, should information technology and cybersecurity become black folks' new NBA and NFL? Special guest, Kay Wolf, as well as Otter Bird Hill, both of them in the cybersecurity and information technology field. As we hear, may recall this famous I Am Not a Role Model commercials. We hear Charles Barkley breaking down his thoughts behind doing the commercial years ago and speaking to something that I saw myself having recruited for college for a year for the Air Force. I definitely would run into high schools trying to recruit, something I love to do on the side to a degree. And I would travel to different places in the Southeast. We would go to the middle schools as well, just in a sense to encourage the kids. And I saw a similar result that Charles was talking about in reference to how many of our children, you know, in a sense, wanted to be entertainers and athletes. We've even done a show here, you know, are there too many of our children that are wanting to be entertainers and athletes? And so culturally, we know to a degree, and we just witnessed what the NBA draft or NFL draft, I think, recently, and we get it. There's the idea of, hey, I've made it. But I remember posting this, Ida, we'll start with you. I remember putting up a post probably about 6 months ago that says, in the long run, engineers, scientists, these information technology people in those positions, in the long run, quite often, believe it or not, a lot of them end up with more money than some of these athletes. And people were going crazy on the post, not understanding that once you get away from those top-tier athletes that we all know, the majority of the athletes, while making a great sum of money, you know, initially or within a year's time, since most are, in a sense, attritioning out within 3 years, of, you know, $400,000 or $500,000 to a degree, and maybe not managing the money at your best, does not play out like someone who gets to keep a career for 30 years, that the demand keeps going up and therefore the income keeps going up. So, again, I know I said a lot there, but just wanted to get your thoughts specifically to our community, our perspective, and how we see the NBA, NFL, and how I am suggesting, and I think you already agree with this, that this career field could be the equivalent. It could lift our people up and out of some of their situations if we only saw it that way. Your thoughts, Queen? I'm sorry, Ms. Ida. Let me bring you back live. Hold on 1 second, Queen. All right, go ahead, July.
I have a different perspective because for 10 years I managed money. I grew my wealth management firm from zero to $353 million in assets under management and actually had a few sports stars as clients. And let me tell you what I learned. First of all, it takes incredible discipline to make it to any of the sports leagues. And if you have that much discipline, then you need to do both. You can't just be a sports star because you got to have a backup plan, plan B. Because even if you're a great star, your career is only going to last 10 years.
Right.
If you're a mediocre star, it's going to last 3 years. So you only got a 10-year window to make your money. Number two, most sports stars are doing something on their off season because they understand they have a short window. So most of them have plan B. What's your second career? Because you got to have one. Because if you don't, you will be poor when you leave the NBA, the NFL, or any other sports. Number two, I just believe you can do both. Why can't you have two careers? If you really want to go into the sports arena, understand it's a business. So you need to have skills to manage your business. And so beyond just your physical skills, what are your mental skills that's going to carry you for the rest of your life? Now, what I have seen, the stars who have done the best always had plan B. We have a couple of sports stars who were medical doctors. They knew going into college they were going to have plan B. You got some sports stars that knew going into college they were going to be an entrepreneur. So they did things a lot differently when they were in college to prepare for their ascent into the NBA and NFL. But we don't see that behind the scenes work because all we focus on is that they made it to the NBA. And so my thing is those same discipline skills are necessary to make it in any career. And so I reach out to parents and students, but mainly the parents. You got to have your child got to have plan A and plan B and plan C. And technology should be at least your plan B because it's not going anywhere. Now, why do I say that? First of all of the sports are highly technical. When you walk into a stadium, it is a technological wonder. Why? Because it makes for a wonderful customer experience in the stadium. You can go to the games and see all the mobile stuff that's happening. You can go to the Tron and see people kissing each other and the videos that are made from that. So a stadium is a technological wonder. Somebody had to program that stadium. But let me tell you what happens in reality. We look at the 400 players and don't look at all the things that happen behind the scenes to support those players. And I give a good example how I got into this business. We built the Little Caesars Arena here in Detroit. The largest Cisco installation in 20 years in the state of Michigan and didn't have one black, not one, on that facility, not one.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have one Detroiter building the infrastructure for that technological wonder, which is how I got into this because I got so angry that we're building this stadium and we're so worried about the players running up and down that court that we missed out on billions of dollars that it took to build that stadium. Multiply that by multiple stadiums across the country, and that is a show enough dilemma.
A show enough dilemma. Okay, you're, oh, I'm sorry, Queen. No, go ahead. I'm sorry that you were done. I'm sorry.
Should never ever happen.
Oh, absolutely,
happen,
Queen. Nah, and Kay, your thoughts, as again, as we just kind of break down, you know, I found it unfortunate. Like she said, this arena gets built, and it's this great opportunity, and there's no one that looks like us able to take advantage of it. Your thoughts in reference to, you know, again, just hearing culturally this amazing opportunity that, hey, we're not, to a degree, not focused on it, and the numbers show that.
So I think that in the vein of what Ms. Ida was saying about cybersecurity being an opportunity to lift people up out of poverty, and if we focus on the technology and the opportunities in tech that are happening around us, we'll discover that not only is there an option for having a first and a second and a third career, there's an option to, or there's an opportunity to eventually start your own firm. You see, there's a ladder in cybersecurity, and it allows you to start out as a worker doing networking jobs, and then you can eventually increase your education with certifications and experience, and you can move from starting out in a support role to moving into a managerial role and a leadership role, a consultancy role, and eventually if you want to start your own firm providing technical networking services, you can do that, and then that's when you're in looking in the hundreds of thousands of dollars, multi-million dollar contracts, providing networking support or cybersecurity services. So there's a huge trajectory that could be a multi-generational opportunity. So you train, you get yourself trained, and as you progress in your career and your kids who grow up, you can teach them. They'll also be watching you. And, you know, by the time your children in high school, you might have your own little, you know, network services or cybersecurity team of people. And it would definitely be an opportunity for building generational wealth.
No, I love it because, again, you think about it, we're constantly, at least in these circles that I'm in and the people that, you know, Mental Dialogue listeners, we're constantly talking about it. And, again, it's just a path that I think the numbers, again, show that we should go into it. But I love how you laid out, hey, spend some years getting technical, understanding it, and you're not just simply talking about, in the way you laid it out, and I love this, is you're not just simply talking about, you know, a job, if you will. I mean, Ms. Ida herself said, hey, she comes from a whole totally different background, a finance background, and moved into this and now has her own business in this arena as well. So great opportunity. For the listeners out there, if you want to get in on the conversation, please press 1. We'll get you in on the conversation. I had a couple callers of the day. They had to go, so I missed them. But for anybody out there listening, the number to get in is 646-787-1691. Again, that's 646-787-1691. If you were just on the line and still listening, please come back on. We'll get you in. I just wanted to get a little deep into the conversation before I open up the phone lines, but we are opening them up now. Again, remember, if it's your first time calling, you will need to press 1 to get in on this morning's discussion. Should information technology and cybersecurity become Black folks' new NBA and NFL? Because here's a reality. I remember having on another queen years ago on the show, Bradley. She has a great book called Reading at One. Highly recommend you, if you have any toddlers or about to have a baby, get that book and speed up your child's reading comprehension and skills, if you will. But I remember having her on years ago, and she has like a daycare and school for children or whatever. And I remember her sharing with me that she had gotten a basketball scholarship to go to a HBCU. And we were having a dialogue, in a sense, about getting into STEM, as you recommended earlier, Ms. Ida. And in that conversation, because I've been saying this for years, this should be our new NBA, this should be our new NFL, right? And so when I was saying that to her, she thought about her own life and said, you know what, my dad used to work with me in basketball when I was a kid, and due to that, I was able to get a little scholarship money to go, I guess, to the HBCU that she went to. And she was hearing me talk about the concept of making tech and STEM our new NBA and new NFL. She actually said, and partly due to her being an educator, as I just mentioned, she actually said, wow, what if my dad had a took that 30 minutes or that hour and went ahead and started me into some STEM things, I wonder what I would have been. I mean, that's just literally what she said as an educator. That perspective of saying, come on, new NBA, this should become my NFL, made her think about that, if you will. We are up against the break, so we'll be right back. You're listening to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask is that you think.
Have you heard about that podcast, Mental Dialogue? It's so good, it should be illegal. But if you miss the live show every Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio, be sure to catch replays on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Podbean, and all other streaming platforms. We are the return of intelligent radio, and we are the best in the world at having hard conversations on race, sex, gender, and business in the African-American community. And remember, all I ask is that you think.
Where did you get that hat and t-shirt? I like that.
Oh, I got this at moneymotivation.com. It's fresh, right?
Yes, and I love the message on it, too. You are the hustle, huh?
That's what the shirt says. I am the hustle. They embody the entrepreneurial spirit, and what I like the most, it's more than a brand. It's a lifestyle for those who want to put in the work and expect to have the finer things in life. I also follow them on Instagram. Check this post out.
If you believe money is the root of all evil, you're using it wrong?
Or how about this one? Excuses made $0 an hour.
I like those. What's their IG?
At moneymotivation.co.
But do they have any ladies' gear?
Yes, you're going to love the clothing line they got for the ladies. Matter of fact, pull up their website, moneymotivation.com, and I'm going to get you a few things so we can both look like money.
Everywhere I go, go, and everywhere I be, I don't even talk, talk. They still know it's me, because I look like money, smell like money.
You point out that over 50% of the PhDs awarded to blacks is in education, and you don't seem to think much of a PhD in education.
It's not a question of what I think, it's a question of what the marketplace thinks, and there's not much money in that. So if you're going to compare blacks and whites who have PhDs, you have to realize you're talking about apples and oranges. If you're going to compare blacks and Asians with PhDs, you're really talking about apples and oranges, since the Asian PhDs will be disproportionately in math, science, technology, and fields like that. So that I think that's a rational choice to some extent. Insofar as people have not had the same educational background, they must do what they can do, not what they would like to do. What's encouraging to me is that second-generation blacks in college, that is, blacks whose parents went to college before them, are majoring in mathematical and other such areas to almost exactly the same extent as the general society. So again, as you break these numbers down, there is a sign of progress, but there's very little sign of any kind of miracle taking place.
What do you mean, miracle?
That is, there are people who will talk in terms of what the proportion of blacks are who earn so much or are represented in various occupations. You're not going to be an engineer unless you've got an engineering degree. And if blacks' degrees are in education, then we don't expect to find blacks represented in engineering in proportion to blacks in the society.
So that's an example in which our cultural choice determines our income. Our income is partly due to the income gap between blacks and whites. Is that part of it?
Yes, yes.
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates. This morning's discussion question, should information technology and cybersecurity become black folks' new NBA and NFL? We actually have a caller that wants to get in. We'll go to the caller. Area code 314, last 3600. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your 3 cents on this morning's discussion.
Well, it's Pianchi. How you doing, Montoya?
Hey,
you know,
how you doing, brother Pianchi?
This is a topic that I've been talking on and working around the education of African-American kids since the 70s, studying that is. And it is very, very sad, the data that comes out that nobody seems to pay any attention. Now, you mentioned about the NBA and the NFL. The NBA need to be paying reparations. Because when you look at the number of young black boys that was expended, I use the word expended to create just one LeBron James, just one Kobe, you're talking about thousands of kids. because they had to provide him with competition in order to hone his skills. Think about it. We have our children in gyms, and you drive around town and watch the number of kids that's out there playing football during the school year at 8 o'clock at night. Those kids, the majority of them, the vast majority, will be pushed to the side. They never will make the big time. I often say that you have your young man in the basketball gym shooting 100 free throws every night, but they never at home doing 100 math problems every night to practice. And it shows. The gentleman that I talked about earlier, maybe you planned a recording, he's absolutely right. This is something that needs to be started at preschool, in elementary school, in order to prepare your child for a higher education in any of these areas. A child should be exposed to chemistry, physics, mechanics, electronics, biology, magnetism, solar, astronomy, when they're young, in order to spur the innovative minds. And that's not going on. Hey, you know, by the time I got to, and I'm not bragging about me, I'm talking about the era of things that we done in my generation as kids. Hey, by the time I was probably 9 years old, I had took apart 3 radios and 4 TV sets and threatened that if I didn't get them back together before my grandfather came home, I was in deep trouble. I mean, think about that. So, and then there's a lot of opportunities in these areas. I mean, look at the companies that we do produce some. I say we, I'm talking about black society do produce some, but they produce nowhere near enough of people who can perform in these areas. Hey, you talk about the NBA, for instance, and them stadiums. Look at all the behind-the-scene opportunities that go on that make it possible for that performance on the field and on the court. Sports medicine, radio, TV, audio, visual, ambulance, coaching, concessions, marketing, finance, all that goes on behind just in those areas that make it possible for what you come to pay a ticket to watch to see. When you look at whose faces up, you hardly see any blacks at all. And then Bill, also,
you forgot
the
most
important
person in the stadium.
Yeah.
You hear me, Brother Fiocchi? You forgot the most important person in the stadium, the beer man. That's what I do at the stadium.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. But, you know, here's another point, too. Some people don't like to talk about this because they get ridiculed, and whites are not going to talk about it. Those are not going to talk about that benefit. I always say Nigerian is not going to tell your children what they need to know to out-compete theirs. But when you look at the graduations, at the academic data that black kids are carrying when they go to these schools, you got some high schools, you know, in St. Louis, you got some of your famous high schools like Vashon, where Maxine Waters went to, or Sumner, where Tina Turner went to. You're looking at a math proficiency in some of these schools that's below 10%. Reading proficiency, 11 to 19%. Graduation rate, 75%. That's totally, totally, really alarming when you look at this. And this is not no exception. It's almost expected. But it has to change. So, you know, I could go on for a long time.
No, absolutely. Yeah. Well, you know, you're one of my number one callers, so I always give you a little more time. And you said a lot, so I'm very interested in what our guests
it's a lot
have
to say
about some of what you're saying.
It's,
Yeah.
It's a lot to say. You know, I wish you have on your show one of these organizations like the National Society of Black Engineers and tell what they've been around since 1972.
Yeah, I've been reaching
out like
to them. We're going to figure
that
out one day.
And let people know what's going on and let them know that there's nowhere near enough. And to close with this, I was reading an article on artificial intelligence. Artificial intelligence is going to remove 40 to 50% of the jobs, 60% of the jobs here by 2025, they say. It was talking about a Chinese school, a college, and it said that the dorm lights go in the dorms go off at 11 o'clock. The kids, the students, come outside and sit on the curb, and they're continuing to study by streetlights. And the books that they use is not always up to date. They use whatever they can get. So look at that nation of people now. Anyway, I regress.
Thank you so much, Brother Pianca, for your thoughts this morning. Definitely appreciate your 3 cents. Again, you said a lot. Kay, actually, I'm going to start with you. Anything that you would like to address, whether it's Brother Pianca or even from the cut, just to share, that was a cut from Thomas Sowell talking about, in a sense, the type of degrees that different cultures are selecting or whatever. And in my opinion, the discussion we're having today is about considering having that cultural shift and having parents encourage their kid to, kind of like Brother Pianca said, get exposed to all of these things. And so kids have, in a sense, a more opportunity to figure out actually what they might like and what field could make sense. Obviously, every kid is not going to go into this area, but the issue is we don't have enough of our children going in these areas, in a sense, chasing hoop dreams, which is much harder, believe it or not, things that we're suggesting. But your thoughts, Queen, go ahead.
Absolutely think that cultural choice has a lot to do with it, and exposure to these other higher level topics, scholarly topics, such as what were mentioned, chemistry, math, science, computer programming, medicine, magnetism, electrical engineering, networking, and to touch on what was said about the illustration that was given, to touch on the illustration that was given about the children sitting, studying outside by street lamp, using whatever they can to learn. This day and age, we're almost at a point of singularity where technology and human has merged into one, and it's inseparable. And we have access to all the knowledge in the world through the internet, and a lot of children, I know from what I've observed, children as young as age 5, even younger, have a tablet or cell phone in their hand, and they're engaged. And it's up to the parents to make a conscious effort to expose their children, to take this opportunity, use these tools that we have to expose their children to higher learning material. And there's so much knowledge that can be accessed in the palm of these children's hands already. And I believe that it's a matter of a mental paradigm shift in the community to let parents know that these opportunities exist, and let them know that there is so much potential and opportunity for their children's futures if they just shift their perspective shift the perspective that they have about the content that they are delivering to their children's devices. So there are ways for there are a lot of resources, and there's ways for these children to learn complex math, science, astrophysics, computing, even from YouTube. YouTube Kids has a lot of educational videos for children that are higher learning. And it's just a matter of parents recognizing it, realizing it's there, wanting that better future for their children, and using the tools that they already have in their hands to access that breadth of knowledge.
No, absolutely. No, absolutely. Great idea. We are at the top of the hour, so we're going to go to another break. If you're out there online, the number to get in is 646-787-1691. Again, that's 646-787-1691. Please call in and give us your 3 cents. Again, you have to press 1 to let us know. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask is that you think. This next cut is Taylor Pace from our sponsor, Square Business Entertainment Party. Hope everybody's ready to get outside, so I thought I would give us a little upbeat song for our music selection this morning. We'll be right back. All I ask is that you think.
Everybody get lit with looking good and feeling nice. Get your dance on all night long. So much love is in the air, what could go wrong?
There's a bass in my body, something deep in my soul. Heart's playing a melody, feeling out of control.
Best lives don't have to leave. It's real, like a dream to me. Throw your hands up in the air and party with me.
Tonight we are learning more about a cyber attack forcing the shutdown of one of the main pipelines supplying gas and diesel fuel to the East Coast. Courtney Cuby has the latest on the investigation. Courtney.
That's right, Jose. Colonial Pipeline Company supplies nearly half of all fuel consumed on the East Coast, bringing more than 100 million gallons from the Gulf every day. On Friday, they were hit by a ransomware attack, which locks users out of their system, demanding payment to restore access. It's still not clear whether another nation or some criminal element was behind the attack. The company saying they temporarily suspended their operations in order to contain the threat. The White House now saying they are working with the company to assess the threat and restore operations. If the shutdown continues for several days, though, it could raise fears of soaring gas prices ahead of a busy summer driving season. Jose?
Thanks for watching our YouTube channel. Follow today's top stories and breaking news by downloading the NBC News app.
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates. This morning's discussion question, should information technology and cybersecurity become, and as we hear another cut highlighting the unfortunate oil shortage due to a ransomware attack, which my special guest, Ida Bird, he'll explain to us what a ransomware attack and how unfortunate that cybercrime has increased to the point that we're encouraging our parents out there to, in a sense, take the lead and culturally shift how we see information technology and cybersecurity, because it is an opportunity, as we've mentioned, to build generational wealth. And so, Ms. Ida, if you will, your thoughts to some of what we've been talking about, and again, this concept of this opportunity. And then after that, I want to get into, in a sense, Kay's expertise and what she's going to be offering, where people can learn how to protect their own stuff, because, again, these crimes are increasing, but, again, a great opportunity for our community. Go ahead, Queen.
Well, what I'm going to say is that whenever something doesn't go well in the Black community, we always want to sue somebody else rather than take responsibility for our actions. First of all, every school system in America have graduation requirements that have lots of math and science involved in them. The problem is that when they send home homework, they mamas and daddies ain't making them do the homework. It means they have no interest in the subject because now it's so hard, because like anything, you got to practice to be good at it. Now, I'm probably an old school mom because my kids are grown, and my son has a bachelor's in IT making $135,000 a year, but he didn't get there by his own volition. He got there because I set that path from the day he was born. So in my house, I have a different stand. I oversee homework every day. My kids have come to know that if their homework is not sitting in the middle of my kitchen table for me to review it at the end of the day, we have some severe problems that's going to be happening in my household because I don't play. So when you walk in the door, my children had a routine. You come in, you get your snack, you get to your homework. If you tell me you don't have any homework, then I got plenty of places to make you homework because mommy's homework is going to be worse than the school's homework. So if you were smart, when you came into my house, you had homework from your teacher. Actually, you asked them, can I have some homework? Because I don't want to do my mother's homework. If more mamas and daddies did that in the black community, then all of our kids will be technically competent. Because whether they go into the technology career or not, every career in the world is technology-based, which means they need to know technology. So whether they become a cybersecurity person, or whether they become a technology person, or whether they become a marketing person, whether they become a finance person, whether they become a paramedic, all of those careers are surrounded and its foundation is technology. The problem is that we're not doing our job as mommies and daddies to make sure that we set the path for our children. So my thing is that really parents have to take the brunt of the issue. It ain't the NBA or the NFL or what have you, because I believe that children should do both. My children did sports, but they also did their homework. They did sports, but they also went to the science center every month. They did sports. They also had science kids they had to do work with, because that's my job as a parent, to set the path for my children. Now, I do have to chuckle. In the fourth grade, my son, for career day, told his teacher that he wanted to be the black Bill Gates. They thought it was funny. Actually had a running joke around the school. But my job as a parent is to make sure that the teacher do their job. So I politely went up to the school and said, while you think it's funny, it ain't funny, because that's what he's going to become, the black Bill Gates. And my job is to make sure you deliver him to that goal. So I will be on my job every day to make sure you are on your job, that he gets what he needs. So if your kids are not doing well in math, as a parent, that's your job to go up to the school and find out why not. If you're not good at math, it's your job as a parent to go make yourself better so you can lead your children so they are better. So we need to take some responsibilities in our own community of why our kids are not going where they need to be, because we have taken our hand off the directional guide for them, and we need to go back to being what mommies and daddies used to be. We lead our families to where we want them to go. So
I respect it. I'm sorry, Queen.
Secondly, I want to say there is nothing wrong with wanting to have a big dream to be a sports star. I'm all for it. I raised my child to be a sailor, and I was hoping that she was going to be like Larry Ellison at Oracle, commanding a sailboat for money. But she decided she got in the way of her hair and didn't want to do that. And I said, you can drop out of that if you want, but you're not going to drop out of math. You're not going to drop out of science. You're not going to drop out of technology, because that is where your career is going to go, in marketing. And so she wanted to be in a marketing, and I convinced her that she needed all of those field activities if you want to be successful in marketing. So parents need to step up to the plate and do their job.
Your job is to make sure your kid is a productive adult, and you cannot be productive in America without technology. Period.
Well, you said a lot there. Kay, sound like you wanted to, you know, wanted to jump in as well, so please do. If I could, in a sense, highlight and again, absolutely respect that perspective. Let's even throw out some tools, if you will. And again, I think that's somewhere where you can kind of help people in a sense. So like you said, everything's in the palm of our hand. As an after-school instructor, I'm not a big believer in the kids having, in a sense, access to screens and phones too soon. However, when they are given it, or if you're going to do that anyway, I always recommend to the parents and to people in my family, make sure you're using it to their full advantage and not that they're just entertaining themselves to be quiet, but you're actually using it so that they're actually learning something and kids enjoy it via that screen so you can actually use it as a tool. So if you will, Queen, you know, kind of speak to that and maybe give some direction to a parent who knows that everything's in the palm of their hand but don't necessarily know where to look or start if you will.
Sure, that's a great point. And I was just chiming on what Ms. Ida was saying about, her vision that she had for her daughter to become a sailor, cheering that on. So when it comes to incorporating lessons in technology and STEM into your child's daily life, it can start out small. And setting an intentional path for your children when it comes to STEM careers, it can be as easy as Googling some programs or offerings for your kids, for elementary to high school age students. You can Google some offerings from local universities or colleges, especially tech related institutions, and oftentimes they have community outreach programs, and they will take the children for a weekend or an afternoon and teach them about bioengineering, teach them about computer programming, robotics, AI, which is artificial intelligence, VR, virtual reality, AR, augmented reality. They bring these tools to, they present these tools to the children's level. Also, your local library should have federally funded programs for STEM education, specifically for children. And I would recommend that you Google your local library's resources, start there, and take a look at your surrounding area, universities and colleges near you, and if you just reach out them directly, I'm sure that they will have a way to direct you to programs that they have for the kids.
I was messing with a little bit, Kay, but you're telling me that people still go to libraries in the technology age?
Pardon me, I couldn't make out what you said there.
Oh, okay, I was saying people still go to libraries in the technology age. I was just being a little facetious.
Yeah, they do, because now the library is on your phone. So my thing is that you don't even have to leave your house anymore. All of that is at the tip of your finger. The internet has allowed open access to information all over the world, and you don't even have to leave your sofa. The problem is that a lot of times people use their phone for a lot of foolishness and not for the betterment of their life.
Yeah, go ahead, Kay. We got about a minute before break. Go ahead and get your last thought in, and we're going to go to another break. Go ahead, Queen.
Absolutely. What Ms. Ida was saying, a lot of that information is at the, at your fingertips. And if you check with your local public library system, a lot of times they have 3D printers, VR goggles, virtual reality headsets, augmented reality headsets that go unused because the population that isn't aware of the STEM offerings. And there are workshops that are held usually over the summer where the kids can go hands-on and get a hands-on opportunity to learn computer programming and actually, you know, program little robots.
No, I love it. I mean, we're actually up against the break, but that's great, great resources. So, yeah, if you're out there listening, you know, and like I was a little facetious about people not going to libraries, but there's sure reason to go to a library because, as she said, if they have these things at the library, like literally there's a library being built a few miles away from, you know, where I'm from. And I remember saying to a friend, one of my friends years ago was like, people still use libraries? I literally just said that to me a couple of years ago, and they're building one. And you can imagine, like Ms. Ida said, anything that's being built today is going to be technologically advanced. And, hey, there's an opportunity to go use these equipment. And so we're up against the break. We'll come back. Brother Pianchi's trying to get back in. For area code 682, if you're trying to get in on this discussion, you do need to press 1. All right, we will get you both our callers coming out of the break. Listening to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask is that you think.
Have you heard about that podcast, Mental Dialogue? It's so good it should be illegal. But if you miss the live show every Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio, be sure to catch replays on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Podbean, and all other streaming platforms. We are the return of intelligent radio, and we are the best in the world at having hard conversations on race, sex, gender, and business in the African-American community. And remember, all I ask is that you think.
People have discriminated against other people wherever they've had the power to do it, almost everywhere in the world and almost every period of history. Some groups are kept back by this, and some groups, it seems to make no difference whatever. Insofar, for example, as you have entrepreneurial skills, the fact that people didn't hire Jews in the 19th century didn't stop Jews from hiring each other and setting up and dominating industries such as the garment industry or the beginning of the great Hollywood movie studios and other areas of the economy. It is the skills that are crucial and not the fact that other people are willing or unwilling to hire you. Even groups that have a great animosity towards other groups will nevertheless hire members of those groups with skills in the long run if there are enough of them to make it worth their while.
What's the lesson in that statement for Black America?
Skills are what matters. If other people will not acknowledge your skills in the short run, then those same skills are useful in the Black community with other Blacks. It's what has made other groups advance from poverty to affluence. I know of nothing else that's really done it. Skills and, of course, the work and the savings.
Welcome back to Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates. This morning's discussion question, should information technology and cybersecurity become Black folks' new NBA and NFL? Special guest, Ida Berg, as well as Kay Wolf. Thank you, Queens, both for being with me. We got a couple of callers trying to get in on this morning's discussion, so we're going to go to area code 682, last 3177. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your 3 cents on this morning's discussion.
Peace and power. This is Baba Amin Ojuoka of the Uhuru Academy. How you doing this morning, brother?
Hey, thanks a lot for getting in with us, King. Good to hear from you, Baba Amin. Thanks a lot, King. What you got for us?
Hey, great forum, great topic this morning. I want to give a special shout-out to the sister that you have on the panel this morning. Great work. Keep up the great work. At the Uhuru Academy, of course, we're a private African center school, we take coding and learning technology very serious. At our campus here in South Carolina, not only are we doing agricultural science, but we're doing computer science. Our children had opportunity to build their own computer lab this year. They've learned the basics of coding this year. They're using the Raspberry Pi. They even built the Moodle box server this year at the school. So we have our third graders through our eighth graders all touching technology. In our online program, we have students that are using code.org. We have students now that are even learning some more of the advanced coding languages, and I found an effective approach, especially with these students that love the game, teaching them, exposing them to the technology behind gaming, the coding that goes along with it. We have students that are into 3D modeling, and we've even partnered with some black cybersecurity specialists who are willing to sponsor students that are serious about coding and going on and getting certification. And so I'm excited about this conversation this morning because I do believe that we should definitely get engaged, get our children engaged in the cybersecurity industry, in the IT industry, and treat it with more fervor than we do with sports, you know, because it's more in demand, it's a global ticket, and our children are up for it and they want it. We just have to put it in front of them and make it acceptable and show them the great things that can come of it when they do it. So that's what I want to add on. And I'm just proud of what the sister's doing. I'm proud of all cybersecurity and black IT specialists that see the need to bring that skill into our community. That's all I have.
Nah, thank you so much. You know, I'm a proud supporter of UHU Academy and love what you're doing. We know that it's needed. If you will, again, while we got you, just never know. I just love making on-air connections as well. So obviously he has UHU Academy, an online academy where they basically literally educate our children. You can, you know, give them the grades if you want, if you will, just to give a little more insight. Because while I got you, I want people to know that you do exist. And we're moving into the summer, so
right.
I know every summer you have a bunch of programs
yes.
for, you know, again,
yes.
if you're not looking to do an online school, here's an opportunity. So I'm pretty sure you're doing something this summer as well. And while we have
right.
you, Ms. Ida, if you don't mind, I would like for to get y'all connected because you just never know where those opportunities exist. But if you will, Baba, I mean, tell them about the summer
sure.
stuff as well and how they can follow you. And then, again, hopefully get you
okay.
and Ms. Ida connected just in case there's an opportunity to do something there.
Okay. Well, you know, we've been virtual since we've had our virtual program since 2017. So we're very experienced in delivering impactful virtual education experience to our children. We have summer programs, online summer programs every summer. We do three sessions. We do a 2-week camp in June, a 2-week virtual camp. In August, we expose our children to African history. We do academic enrichment. We also expose them to coding, entrepreneurship, financial literacy, the whole nine yards. And we expose them to black people in different areas of life to kind of show them, you know, this is what I do and this is how I got here. It's fun. It's interactive. So if you want to get involved, you simply go to uhuruacademy.com, U-H-U-R-U academy.com. All the information is there. You can email me at babaamin@uhuruacademy.com or info@uhuruacademy.com. You know, that's a little easier to spell, right? So you can get at me like that, 682-233-5054 as well. You know, that's the direct line. But we're excited about that. This year in our online program, our full-time virtual education program, which goes from third grade to 12th grade, we work with over 60 students in 13 different states, 4 different time zones. And you talk about a great, there is no virtual experience like this for black children on the planet. And I'm not bragging, it's just the truth, right? And so we welcome all the questions to ask and a visit. Just give me a call, contact, and I would love to hook up with the sister and see what we can do because I have some, you know, I have some teenagers that are very serious about going into cybersecurity right now.
Ms. Ida, any thoughts on anything? You know, again, I love making on-air connections. I obviously support this brother. I'm glad he called in on this particular topic. You could probably hear why he chose this one. But if you will, any thoughts, again, maybe just information shared or just, you know, get y'all connected.
Well, I'm excited because, you know, 3rd through 12th grade is where the love for science begins. And I believe that most kids have a love for science, technology, engineering,
yeah.
and math. They come here holding a parent's cell phone. The thing is that we don't force them to get serious and be disciplined about it because we're not really seeing the money in it for our kids. And my thing is there's lots of money in it. People are making hundreds of thousands of dollars. And I'm just so excited to see that, you know, you have a school that's African-centered that has embraced the science, technology, engineering, math area, and particularly virtually, because the real truth of the matter, we don't talk about it out loud, but black people as Africans created mathematics.
I say, yes, ma'am.
We talk about mathematics like it's a European dilemma. But mathematics started in African society. It moved to Europe. So my thing is, if we started something, then we should be the dominant force in it. We should carry it forward and be able to move it across the world. But for some, we have gotten people to believe that math is an Asian or European issue when it's created by black folks.
And I can just interject, that fact really helps too, and because we teach on the African origins of mathematics, the African contributions to math and science. And when I tell you, just knowing that increases their confidence and gives them more ownership in their approach to math and science, it really works, and we have documented proof. It shouldn't be a black child that doesn't know that their people made just as much a contribution to math and science as everybody else. That should be a foundational teaching when teaching our children STEM.
And on that point, it really is a important factor in shifting the paradigm and shifting the narrative around STEM in the black community. I think that's a very important point you make there, sir, that planting that seed so the children know early on that it is in their DNA to excel at mathematics.
Right.
Super important.
Say, yes.
No, absolutely. I mean, absolutely. At the end of the day, when it comes to public education, it's hard to be interested if they never see themselves. And so obviously at the WHO Academy, they're going to see themselves all the way down to finding out. We originated, you know, we started this shit. Excuse the language, but that's real. So with that said, you know, I'm glad you called in, Baba B, because it's very necessary. And if it's okay, I'll definitely try to get you and Ms. Ida connected, because, you know, there may be opportunities for, you know, your kid to graduate and go straight into automation work, and boom, they right there on it. Like, it's not that hard. Y'all already doing the work.
I would love
to go ahead and get back on connected.
Yeah, I would love to be an
IT
I
love that.
Okay. So let's make this happen. Let's build this pipeline. Brother, pass all my contacts on.
I will definitely get it directly to
you.
Her, and we'll make it happen. Yeah, I love it. Owner-air connections.
You.
We're known for that. We just make it happen, y'all. So thank y'all. Thank you so much for calling in, Bob. We got some other callers. Let's go ahead and get to the next caller. Area code 647, last 3050. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your 3 cents on this discussion.
Yeah. How you doing? It's Patrick. And I love this discussion.
Hey, what's up, Patrick out of Toronto? Appreciate you, King.
Yeah. And I relate to it because when I was younger, I developed my love for, like, computers first through the Atari game. I'm dating myself, but through Atari game set. That's where I started becoming very interested in computers. And it's through those Atari game sets and breaking those down, but then that just translated into, okay, I'll just go into comp sci and stuff, and, you know, in university. And then from there, I just took my career out from there, you know, software development stuff. So I think that's a general, one of the things you said is that it has to relate to them. I think science and technology has to be relatable. You know, we talk about how we started math, but somehow our relationship to math was severed. Our relationship to, you know, technology somewhere along the line has been severed to a certain degree. And you have to make it relatable to their lives. So I think it's great what's being done. I just think that, you know, let's just say technology in general. I think cybersecurity is all important. I think IT work can make a lot of money. But we should just open it up because things are changing. And if they can get in on the forefront of what's happening, what's coming on over the horizon, they could really, really set themselves up well. As an example, if you're in a bank and you're in an IT situation in a bank, banking is about to change quite drastically. So really, it's the people that are working on how to secure, store, send, and receive digital assets. that are the forefront of banking the way it's going to be in the future. So I think if we just open things up for them and they can pick and choose and gravitate to the sector that they, you know, that they're interested in, then I think, you know, that would be a great thing. And it's a great conversation for you.
Nah, thank you. I think, yeah, you make an excellent point. And to a degree, I think that's ultimately what we're saying. I think we're just talking about even transitioning more of our people culturally to think of it this way, right? Because, you know, there's no accident why 80% of the NBA is, you know, us, and 60% of the NFL is us. And when I go to those college, you know, when I went to those middle schools, I understood why they were raising their hand, because that's where they see us succeed. And so I think you're absolutely right. As we get into more opportunities, or like what the Uhuru Academy is doing, is bringing in specialists in these different areas, they can get in the forefront. So definitely encouraging that. It's just making that cultural transitional shift. So thank you for the call. Thank you for the support. Patrick, we are up against the break. For the other callers, Patrick, we'll get to you coming out of the break. You're listening to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask is that you...
Get lit with looking good and feeling nice. Get your dance on all night long. So much love is in the air. What could go wrong?
There's a place in my body, something deep in my soul. Heart's playing a melody, feeling out of control.
I got this at moneymotivation.com. It's fresh, right?
Yes. And I love the message on it, too. You are the hustle, huh?
That's what the shirt says. I am the hustle. They embody the entrepreneur spirit. And what I like the most, it's more than a brand. It's a lifestyle for those who want to put in the work and expect to have the finer things in life. I also follow them on Instagram. Check this post out.
If you believe money is the root of all evil, you're using it wrong?
Or how about this one? Excuses make $0 an hour.
I like those. What's their IG?
At moneymotivation.co.
But do they have any ladies gear?
Yes, you're going to love the clothing line they got for the ladies. Matter of fact, pull up their website, moneymotivation.com, and I'm going to get you a few things so we can both look like money.
Everywhere I go, and everywhere I be, I don't even talk.
moneymotivation.com. Go check them out. They have a 20% flash sale going on this weekend. Highly recommend that you go get the hottest urban gear for the go-getters. They definitely are gearing up for those who are definitely on their entrepreneurial path. Their hashtag is I am the hustle. So definitely support. I appreciate Money Motivation support of the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. This morning's discussion question: should information technology and cybersecurity become black folks' new NBA and NFL? Special guest Kay Wolf, as well as Ida Bird Hill. She's the CEO of Automation. As we said, we're going to get people up to speed on how they can protect themselves and everything that's going on, but it is a grand opportunity to, in a sense, transition our children into this. Brother Pianchi had something else he wanted to say. For anybody else out there that's looking to get in on the discussion, you do need to give us a call at 646-787-1691. Again, that number is 646-787-1691. You do have to press 1 to let us know you want to speak. All right, Brother Pianchi, we're going to get you back in. What you got for us, King?
Well, you know, I was going to tell Brother Uhuru, since he made mention of, actually, they had you had a black couple out of Stone Mountain, Georgia, that had a online lessons or classes for students, kids, but they was using animated characters that was teaching classes online. But and also, we like to talk about what we done. You know, during the World War II on the Manhattan Project, which was the invention, the implication of the atomic bomb, you had 21 black scientists that worked on that project that you never hear anything about. That there is closer to today, and children, young people can associate with, than we can when we talk about ancient times. You know, black children, black people are part of the human family. And what separates them, even in this country, is the culture and the phenotype. Phenotype is your physical being. And I was going to ask the lady that said that she made her children put their homework in the middle of the table, something to that effect. I ask you two questions. Did your family members or did your neighbors call the Division of Family Service on you for doing that to your kids? Because, believe it or not, people look at that as child abuse. And I've had people tell me, I ain't going to make my kids do that. So without talking about what we do today, how do you get the message across? How do you get the message across to others, other parents and family members and neighbors, that this is what you should be doing with your children because you're setting an example? And I'm being kind of facetious about the Division of Family Service, but sometimes it does happen. That's my question. How do you be successful in getting that message across?
Trying to work the boards. Give me Ms. Ida. Let me get you back live. Sorry about that. All right, go ahead, Queen. Sorry about that.
You're going. Oh, I made it very clear to my children, you can call family services, but understand they're going to move you out of my house because I pay the bills in my house. I feed you, I clothe you, I give you a very nice life. I pay for you traveling, I pay for all of your extracurricular activities. And if you want to lose that, God bless you. No institution of America is going to tell me what goes on in my house when I'm feeding the people in my house. Number two, they only want to say that's child abuse because they're making a black person smarter. Now, as long as you're feeding your kids foolishness, ain't nobody telling you that's child abuse. But we walk around with smartphones, and I see people looking at the world star hip hop, but yet they can't go to the library on that same cell phone. Or I see people walking around, they got their face in YouTube, and YouTube has a lot of information, but they are looking at the foolishness of YouTube rather than educating themselves on what's going on in the world. So no one's going to tell me in my house how I'm going to raise my children. Now, have I had a couple people try? Yeah, they did. And I had to tell them, you don't run my house. See, that's the beauty of America. I got the freedom to run my house the way I want to run it. And if you don't like it, tough luck, because this is my house. Now, when you start paying my bills, then you can tell me what I'm going to do. But as long as two children in my house live here, they are under my rules, and my rules stand, period. Number two,
no, I definitely understand that.
I believe that not only should you have rules, but not only should you have rules, STEM should be fun. Kids like to play video games. And there are a lot of video games that evolve around science, technology, and mathematics. So my thing as a parent, you have to choose what your children do. My children didn't choose what they wanted to do. I chose what they wanted them to do. So in my house, where I see a lot of families have 4, 5, 6 TVs and kids watch what they want, that didn't happen in my house. Because we had one TV for video games and one TV to view. And when it was time to watch TV, I chose the shows they watched. And I give you a good example. The Simpsons came out, and all of those kids were watching The Simpsons. My kids was like, Mama, we can't see The Simpsons. That's an adult cartoon. So when you become an adult, that's when you're going to see The Simpsons. But until then, you're going to watch regular cartoons. I don't care what the rest of the world does. I determine what you see and what you do. So my kids were watching Discovery Channel. They were watching science shows and reality shows. I don't really care what the rest of the world does, because at the end of the day, my job as a parent is to prepare my kids for not only the world today, but for the world that they're going to see in their future so they can be prepped for it. And so I just say to parents, you have to get back to your family responsibility. Your job is to raise your kids to be productive adults for today's future. And that's your job. And you have to take your job seriously. Because it's your only job that has lessons, that has what I call a legacy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely respect that. Any thoughts, Kay, if you will, of what Brother Pionki, I'm thinking from this way, even when I hear Miss Ida bring in a sense how she handled her household and things of that nature, let's at least speak on this.
Absolutely, because your children are your seed.
Hold on one second. So, what I want to speak on is this aspect as well. So the reality is a lot of our children, I was a latchkey kid or whatever, and so even getting a perspective on this across the children. I'm talking about from the standpoint of, we could say, here's what you need to do. We got to figure out a way to reach parents, because sometimes in them being overwhelmed, sometimes some of what we're talking about can get lost. And so if there's approaches to simplifying it, we can just kind of get into that space for the parent who says, I hear what you're saying. However, I'm at work when my kids go home. I'm not talking about having an excuse. It's just helping parents with tools in that we might come up with something.
Yeah, the audio is breaking up pretty significantly on my end, Montoya. I was trying to make out everything you're saying, but I did miss something.
Okay, got you. That means I have a bad connection. Okay. Just basically, how do we help those parents that are over based on their work and they're not at home? I hope you heard that. And I'm going to call right back in. Answer that. I'm going to call right back in to try to improve the audio.
So what I would recommend for parents is utilize the resources that are free. You already have the technology in your home. Your kid's on a tablet, a computer, a laptop, or your cell phone, or their own cell phone or tablet. Direct them to GPB. There are many, many educational programs and video games, STEM-related, but PBS. I'm in Georgia, so I said GPB, but Public Broadcasting Services, PBS.org has a lot of tools. So the TV shows that your children might like to watch on PBS, if you go there, you might be able to find like a Daniel Tiger learns about cyberbullying or some of the other TV shows I've forgotten now because my child's a little older, but there are TV shows like, what is it called, Math Squad, or it comes on television, it airs every day, Odd Squad, and they focus on math and science, and then they've got, the show content does, and then the video games allow the children to experiment with and become familiar with and build a relationship with science tools, mathematical concepts in a fun, dynamic, interactive way. When speaking on legacy, your children are your seeds and what you plant now is going to grow into something in the future. To give you a little bit of background of my trajectory, my father was an engineer, telecom engineer. My mother is an IT consultant. And I firmly believe that the groundwork that they laid and the way they structured their household and how my brother and I were brought up created that environment for me to be, for my mind to develop into the mind that I have today as an adult in network and cybersecurity, networking and cybersecurity and tech. And I have had great opportunities in broadcast. I was a broadcast technical services contractor for many years. And this was because the exposure, early on exposure that I had to computer and technologies made me just extremely comfortable with technology. And my very first machine was an Apple IIe. I was 4 years old. And I remember when I was in kindergarten writing my first line of code.
Wow.
I had a lot of technology around me. My father started out, and then when we talk about these tech careers, it's not going to look the same from start to finish, because the more you learn, the more you're exposed to, the more opportunities you have to try different things. Plus, technology is ever evolving, so you have to be constantly learning. So there will always be opportunities to try different technologies. I remember when I would get in trouble as a kid, I put pennies, I think I was maybe three, and I was putting pennies in a computer. My dad, I think it was on Saturday maybe, found out I was sticking pennies in one of the drive slots, and my punishment was helping him take the computer apart and rebuild it. That was fun for me, and that created a deep emotional connection with technology because I did it with my dad. And it was a quote-unquote punishment, but it was really an eye-opening opportunity to explore a new world hands-on. And
I
love
it. I'm sorry to cut you off. We got to go to one last break.
I think that there are lots of there are video games online like Code Combat, and I think that if a lot of parents just make an effort and be intentional about what in technology you're exposing your kids to, that makes a huge difference. Code Combat is a programming game. My daughter's completed it. She knows how to program in code in Python. She's 10. I think children should be doing things like that, not playing video games where they're, you know, learning how to become predators and killers and playing video games that role-playing shooting games at very young ages. And
I love it. We are up against the break, so we'll go to a quick break. When we come back, Queen, I want you to give people insight on how they can protect themselves when it comes to all of the things that, you know, are involved in this wide world of information technology. We'll be right back for All I Ask Is That You Think.
LNG Technology Services, we are your industry leader in aircraft and heavy equipment repair services. In commercial business for over 15 years, LNG technicians have over 150 years of equipment-specific knowledge and are known industry-wide for returning worn-out, broken, and overused ground support equipment back to the user in working better than new conditions. For a service job done right at a value unparalleled in the industry, contact LNG Technology Services at 478-781-4860. Again, for a service job done right, that number is 478-781-4860. LNG Technologies is a Mental Dialogue Gold member and proud sponsor of the Mental Dialogue community.
My name is Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates. I am the owner and facilitator of the Mental Dialogue Community Support Group, focused on practical solutions and the collective thinking of the black community. We do that one of two ways. Every third Friday, 7 p.m. at Urban Grind, or Saturday mornings, the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Contact us at mentaldialogue.com or on Facebook at Mental Dialogue. All I ask is that you think.
If you have a product or service you would like to get out to the smartest audience in all of radio, please contact me again at 404-604-9477. If you're an individual, like what we're doing with, as I call us, the Return of Intelligent Radio, also contact us at mentaldialogue.com and become a supporter of what we're doing. If you're outside of Atlanta, become a Mental Dialogue supporter. If you're in Atlanta, please hit us up and become a Mental Dialogue, at minimum, a gold member. We are about to get back outside. Tomorrow we do have a invite-only special Zoom. We'll be talking cryptocurrency and our calendar for getting outside. It's been a year since we had a live event for those who have experienced what experience. We're going to be trying to hit a little jazz event in June, and we're going to lay out the calendar for the year. So very excited about getting back outside. This morning's discussion question, should information technology and cybersecurity become black folks' new NBA and NFL? Special guest, Otto Bird Hill, CEO of Automation, and Kay Wolf, a cybersecurity expert. So we will, Queen, for this last segment, we want to give some people some insight into what you're doing, because they're going to be able to follow what you're doing and learn a little more how they can protect themselves. Obviously, we started out the show discussing, you know, the big all U.S. oil pipeline with the ransomware, but again, all people are exposed to a degree if they don't know how to protect themselves. So if you will, Queen, hey, if you will, get into some of what you're doing and what you're going to be sharing with people and what smart things people can be doing to protect themselves in this arena.
Absolutely. So I am teaching a very basic course that your grandmother can understand, elementary level students can understand. And it's teaching people step by step what they can do to protect themselves when they are using their email, surfing the web, and using their cell phones or their computers. And it's very prevalent. Identity theft is very prevalent right now, and cyber crimes are huge. And it's affecting not just countries and corporations, it's affecting individuals. There are scammers, specifically cyber scammers. I'm sure people are very familiar with, you know, a typical scammer. But when you incorporate technology, there are people out there that are geniuses at this. They're brilliant. They're innovative. They're agile. And there are individuals that are really good at cyber scamming, and they're teaching people how to do this. So there's people like the first time I offered this course, you were in the course, Montoya, and I offered it to my think tank group, our think tank group, and I introduced the character TJX6. Who is a Detroit native cyber scammer rapper. And some things that people can do to protect themselves and to protect themselves while they're online has to do with their own habits. So, for instance, I'll give you a couple of things to protect yourself. I go in depth. And I'll give you the web address to the in-depth course that launches on Juneteenth, but it's there now, and you should be able to register for it. It's OTV, as in Oscar Tango Victor, academy.com/members/cybersecurity. I'll say that one more time, OTV as in Oscar Tango Victor, academy.com/members/cybersecurity, all one word. Things that you can do to help yourself not fall victim and protect your loved ones from falling victim are things like computer and mobile security. My course goes into that in depth. Computer and mobile security, not leaving your computer open to malware and ransomware, viruses, Trojans, using a basic antivirus software. If you're operating a Windows machine, Windows has Windows Defender built in, and that is a native software to the computer, and it has what's called a firewall. You can activate the firewall, and what a firewall does is I'm sure you're familiar with a firewall, the brick layer between units to protect one unit from burning down another unit. Firewall acts in the same way. It protects your device from picking up any malware that might be on the network. It filters, the firewall
filters. Okay, if I could real quick. Okay, if you don't mind real quick, because I, again, was a part of your class, like, let people know, like, the sophistication of the scams, like while you're breaking down these different various things that they're going to learn in your class, I want people to understand how easy it is now to have these things happen to them, and that's going to make them understand why they need to get this information, if you will. You know, we got about 5 minutes, so I want to make sure that guy you broke down, I couldn't believe the stories he was telling us that you share with us.
So protecting your mobile devices is very important as well. And a lot of times people will go to public coffee shops and, you know, maybe you're at the airport or you're in flight wanting to use the in-flight network. A lot of times people will connect their mobile devices and expose all their information to hackers or bad actors who could be watching the network traffic. Never connect your cell phone to open, unsecured network. You want to use a VPN, and I go over this in the class. It's a virtual private network, and that protects the data that's coming from your cell phone or your laptop. It protects it from being visible and stolen from anyone else. And it keeps it protected from snooping hackers and bad actors. A RFID blocking wallet is something that you should have, everyone should have. If your cards, your credit card has a computer chip in it, it's super easy for a scanner, a criminal, a hacker with a scanner to literally walk by you and pick up all the information, get your credit card number and the all the information tied to the credit card. They can even run a transaction just by walking by. So an RFID blocking wallet, what I use is a piece of foil. I know it's like as low-tech and old-school as you can go.
that's nice. That's what I'm saying. Like, give us life hacks. Please give us life hacks.
wrap your card or the inside of your wallet with a line it with a piece of foil. Boom, RFID blocking. Another thing that's a common problem is checking emails and clicking on links or opening images from unknown senders. Even just clicking on a hyperlink in an email can automatically expose your device to malware, virus. Clicking on a picture, downloading a picture, that too can store a malware and viruses. And many times people expose their entire network to criminal activity by way of clicking an email that they had no business clicking or clicking on a link that they had no business clicking on.
So basically, people need to take their class. That's what I'm hearing. We got a couple of minutes left, so I want to make sure we get out Ms. Ida's information on how people can get into cybersecurity as well, information technology. And, Kay, if you will, please send me the information you gave as far as the link, and I'll make sure that it's reposted with the replays of the show. And if you do any promotions digitally, I want to make sure I'm putting that up on Mental Dialogue as well. So, Ms. Ida, again, thank you so much. It's been a wonderful show. Appreciate the perspective. If you will, Queen, give them how they can get in contact and get information on how to be, you know, get into this career field, because that's what you're helping people do. Go ahead, Queen.
Sure. Automation Works website is very simple, www.autoworkz.org, and so that's autoworks.org, but that's works with a Z. So that's autoworkz.org, and there you can click there and go to the bottom of the page, and you see our link for IT certification classes. Click on it to apply, and then there's also a page that explains what is cybersecurity, how do you get in it, how do you migrate to it, what's the income levels in it, and to sample some of the information.
No, I love it. And if you will, Kay, give out your information again. Again, don't forget to send me that, and I'll make sure I repost it. But, yeah, if you out there individually, understand that these scammers are getting so sophisticated, it's so easy for them to get out information. You need this class. So if you will, Queen, give out that information again. Thank you for being with us this morning as well.
Absolutely. It's OTV as in Own the Vision Academy, otvacademy.com/members/cybersecurity.
I love it. Y'all were great. Appreciate y'all. See y'all next Saturday. All I ask is that you think.